Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective with myself, Cynthia Sloan. Welcome, everyone. I am so delighted to have my special guest tonight. Her name is Carrie, and I can't wait to talk with her and laugh with her and hear about all of her experiences, and most importantly, to share them with you. Before we do that, I want to remind everyone that this show is definitely about listener participation, and I'd love to hear from you questions or comments during the second part of the show. If you desire to do that, feel free to call 888-815-9756. Toll free, again, 888-815-9756. So, tonight we have Carrie with us, and she is I've known Carrie for some time. I've been gifted and honored to know her, and I would define her only in the need to explain her to our listeners as a universal artist, which would be inclusive of all things expressive, beautiful, and also truth. And so with that said, I'm going to be sharing about my vision and version of her and knowing her for some time. But before I do, I want to invite Carrie to the show. Hi, Carrie. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Absolutely. We've been talking about doing this for some time, and it is finally aligned with everything, because here we are.
Yes. It has been a long time in coming, but yes. I am so excited to be able to do this tonight.
As am I. I want to talk, I spoke about how I consider you a universal artist, and so I want to talk about the fact that you most certainly are an incredible artist, an artist that I have been able to witness. For those listeners, if I can create a vision for you to understand, possibly verbally, and hopefully energetically, Carrie can transform not only a physical space into the most sacred, magical, wonder-filled land to any other type of ingredient that somebody would ask her to change it into. She has the ability to literally create worlds while being in this world. I've walked into some of the places that you have created, and they are wonder-filled worlds that transport. They literally transported me, and I remember not wanting to leave some of them. I want people to understand, what does your art mean to you?
Well, that is a good question, and I'm blushing, by the way. That's a good question. I've been thinking about this all day and trying to think of just a good, concise way of describing what I do and what art means to me and what this whole journey has been about. So let me refer to a few notes that I jot down earlier today.
Sure.
Beginning with the question, what does my art mean to me? And I'd have to say that I've always made it, but I've rarely understood it. Sometimes I feel like a portal that the language, the art, just comes through. The language has always been. I didn't make it up. I just am remembering it, basically. It's almost like the images, the message, the symbols, choose what piece really that they are put into. And it's often hard for me to translate those symbols. Like, you know, is it a celebration? Is it directions to somewhere or for someone or for me? But there's always a relationship between the symbols and the other images in the piece.
Mm.
So when a lot of people look at my work, you know, they say, you know, is your work religious? Does it come with a religious point of view, et cetera, et cetera? And my response would be, it's a deeply spiritual work. And it's deeply spiritual in that it doesn't speak to any one religion. It speaks to mythology, definitely the divine feminine, something very, very dear to me, and something that I try to bring into many parts of my life. And the creation of and recording of where we've been and what we've been. Making these pieces is almost like an archaeological dig of sorts. Not only is it the language of media to build up the ground and the imagery, and actually talking about the canvas and, you know, putting the paint onto it, but it's also a process of sifting through the messages and the symbols that are coming to my mind. And it's that really bridges another part of my life and a part that I am so thankful for, and that's the part of my psychic work. And it's kind of when making the art and giving readings or getting information in that matter, it's kind of like getting so much information from guides or beings or whatever during a reading and trying to translate it into something that's understandable for the recipient. And no matter what the area is, whether it be the art or the psychic work or creating a sacred space for myself or, you know, even within a retail space, whether it be a shop window or what have you. In many ways, I step back and I get out of the way, and I guess that's how I sum the whole thing up.
That is, I love that, actually, that explanation, because it is as layered as your work is and as you are. In fact, for listeners, if you want to take a peek and really get to know her one form of her many expressions, you can go to myspace.com/ and the word twilight and stars art, and that's all one word together, twilight and stars, and then the word art, but again, it's in one continued word. And you'll see some of the forms of expression that have come through. I wanted to ask you, you talked about your psychic ability, which I have witnessed and been able to really enjoy communicating with you and your guides, et cetera, for some time. But I wanted to know your relationship to what different modalities of energy speaks to you in your art. Is it just painting? Is it other forms? What different forms does it take?
Good question. It's definitely not just painting or mixed media or traditional 2D or even 3D. And when I say 3D, I mean like, you know, doll making or sculpture or what have you. It works its way into all kinds of parts of my life. My writing, that's definitely, whether it be just sort of a stream of consciousness. And again, referring back to what I said, stepping back and letting come through what wants to come through, whether it be messages for myself or for other people.
Now you mentioned,
go ahead.
You mentioned traditional 2D, is that what you said?
2D, two-dimensional. So that would be drawing or paintings or printmaking or anything that's just on a flat surface.
And then media, what is that?
Media, it would be anything fun to play with art-wise. So that would be paint or drawing pencils or anything like that. Anything that basically you can get to adhere to a canvas or a piece of paper, and oftentimes, sort of like that archaeological dig that I talked about, the process in my art, and touching on what you said a few moments ago, I just call it going into my zone. When I'm working on pieces of art, I like creating, you know, a nice space for myself. I don't like to have interruptions. Usually I like to have, you know, music playing in the back. I have, you know, a lot of my materials, all my favorite colors of paint and all that sitting out. And then it just clicks. I just, you know, go into the space. And oftentimes my pieces can have many, many, many layers. I mean, this is not something that you knock out in one night. This can be something that's worked on for weeks on end, because I could easily put 10, 20, 30, maybe more than 30 layers of different things on top. And it's very much an adding to and a taking away process, which hopefully through the pictures, if you check out my site, you'll be able to see, because there's oftentimes kind of a translucence as you're looking through all these different layers, which I got by, you know, applying a layer of paint or applying a layer of actually writing the symbols on the canvas or what have you, and then sanding some of it away or scratching some of it away, and then adding more on top of it. So I've looked at prior works that I've done, and sometimes I've had the state of mind to remember, oh, take pictures, you know, while you're doing this, to sort of record all the different steps, kind of like the scientist taking pictures of all the different layers that they're digging at, so they can remember what on earth they did beforehand. But it's amazing how, you know, it transforms. It goes from one thing to another to another. And then just when it gets its most difficult, when I get the most frustrated, when I want to give up on the piece, I pout. And then I put the piece away for a few days. And then I pout. And then I come back to it, and I'm like, you know what, this thing has to end. I need to finish this. And I start in on it, and that's usually the very, the most intricate, imagery, or there's one piece that I have that I have it actually listed as untitled. There's an image of a tree, and with a very, very translucent background behind it. And it took who knows how long, you know, to build up the background behind it. But once you get to the tree part, that tree was painted after the pouting and right before the finishing. So it was the last thing that happened. And I'm very thankful it happened, because I was getting very, very frustrated with that thing.
Wow, I mean, it sounds like an amazing process, a wonderful process. It also sounds so related to somebody or anybody on a level of spiritual unfoldment, a level of where the layers come off one by one by one, and then, you know, you hit the bottom, if you will, or the foundation, as you stated, of the piece or oneself, and then want to walk away, but then be pulled back to find completion, maybe healing and love with it. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
That's exactly the way it is, and it is. It's not just in the art. It's with a writing project, or my word, it could translate into so many different things of, you know, mulling over a problem for a long time and trying to come up with an answer to it, or you know, a relationship problem, or trying to figure out, you know, how are you going to take that next step in life, whether it be taking a plunge and starting a new career, the kind of thing that you always wanted to do, but you found yourself putting, you know, so many things in the way, whether it be, you know, excuses. Okay, I don't have the space. I don't have the time. You know, I'm in a relationship that, you know, I'm not going to be able to take time away from that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the world has an amazing way of just, you know, knocking you on your butt and telling you, okay, it's time to do this thing that we know you're afraid of. But once you start doing it, very much like this radio show right now, it's going to turn out just fine. And everyone hopefully will get a little something out of it, if it's not just a good laugh.
I love it. I love how you see things. And the thing that I've known about you since the day I met you is your level of intelligent humor is off the charts. And humor, your level of humor is one that I have found is present at the hardest times and the lightest times, but its ability to speak with intelligence and just the spirituality in it. It's almost like I said earlier, this truth about you and your work is just always present, and I'm deeply appreciative for that. So I want to thank you for that. I'm wondering about your layering process in your work. You kind of touched on it already. That the layering, what does that symbolize to you personally? Are you consciously aware when you're working on a piece and you're adding layers or taking layers away that might have to do with a connection with you and what you're going through? Or is it an afterthought that you're able to then see clearly everything that you've just created?
I would say during the process, sometimes I'm conscious of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there might even be a little planning, you know, not to give myself that much credit. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes it's just sort of, okay, these are the steps I must take, whether it be, you know, my guides nudging me or, you know, higher self saying, okay, you know, to get to this spot in the road, you kind of have to, you know, take these steps to get to it. But it's both a physical journey in working with the media and making the piece that goes along with the mental journey. Because looking back on the piece, I often find that it very much is a stepping stone or an important chapter in what's going on in my life. So it's sort of an illustration of, okay, even what I might not realize what's going on inside or what's going on around me or something that I just lived through, it's now there. And there's stuff that I see right away, and there's stuff I see years down the road. And then there's other things, you know, people, you know, wander into my kitchen and see what's hanging on the wall, and they're like, oh, my word, I can't, do you see this and this and this and this? And, you know, I'm standing there, you know, in awestruck. No, it's been hanging up here, and I never saw that, and that is amazing. Thank you so much for noticing that. Actually, in probably the biggest example of that, and it was by far the best learning process and the most frustrating, all wrapped up with a bow. Was back during my art schooling. During our senior year, we had to do a huge thesis project, and it was hung in a professional gallery there at the end. So it's wow. You know, students were stumbling along, hoping to create this fantastic thing, so that hopefully they could say something intelligent about it at the end, and maybe even get their diploma. So considering their parents just paid how much, and as I started creating the pieces for this thesis project, I really didn't have a good handle on what I was making. I didn't fully understand the imagery. And I ended up making, you know, 5 or 6 of these very, very large pieces. They were probably easily 5 to 7 feet in size.
Whoa.
And took up a good percentage of that gallery, much to the chagrin of some of my classmates. But
I don't know what I'm saying, but I need most of the wall.
Exactly. You guys can have, you know, here's a good healthy half of the gallery, and I'll take the rest of it. But I you know, I was learning how to use these different media, and I was using all of these grits and box after box of charcoal and grinding all of these layers literally into these huge pieces of paper that I was sitting on the floor. I went through a huge industrial roll of drawing paper for this, and I had no fingerprints actually by the time I graduated. I know that leads one's mind to all sorts of places. But I stood back when I had to do my defense, and I really didn't know what it all meant. I knew I had to say something intelligent about it, but I really didn't know what it all meant, and I found myself basically just stepping aside and saying, okay, we need to get the job done here, and the real analysis will happen later. So hopefully none of my thesis board is listening to this, but I gave them a very good story. And bless them all. They're wonderful people. And years later, I was living in a different state. I was just starting to make art again. I sort of, you know, the well was dry when I left there, and the well took a while to fill back up again until I actually started doing a lot of past life work and writing and things like this. And this was around the time when I was starting to write several hours per night, and those hardbound journal liners, you know, that's just the plain black covers with, I don't know, however many pages inside. I was filling up, you know, a couple of those a month. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about these pieces I had made before and still wondering, okay, what on earth did they mean? And doing some past life work, all of a sudden this design came to me. And it was in the form of a piece of jewelry. And it was a very large rectangular pendant with smaller rectangles within it. And if you look at it, it looks just sort of like a, you know, I sketched it out. And I realized this was way too familiar, and then things started clicking, and I realized that it was a map. And I looked at it, and then I started sectioning off portions of it, And I realized that way back, you know, in undergraduate years, I had created the portions, you know, each rectangle of paper was a portion of this design, and I had drawn the map years before, not knowing what on earth it meant.
Wow.
So I'm just really happy I graduated, and I'm happy it turned out okay. And that's a good lesson to, okay, stuff might not make any sense at all now. Just hang on, and you'll get the full story down the road, and hopefully have a good laugh about it.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, basically, in a different translation, to add to what you shared, it's like you have this known or unknown relationship consciously with trust with, you're like this messenger, and using different expressions, whether you know what the message is or not, but allowing it to come through you is the trust that maybe allows you to utilize the understanding of it in the moment or later on. So basically, I could see it as a symbolic gesture in that story, and to all the listeners that are participating, that when you're working on something, or you are in a struggle in your life, or you are having to put something up from the ground floor, or tear something down, and you just don't know why, but you still find yourself going through the motions, that there is purpose and reason, there is a divine orchestration to all of those events, and that possibly just allowing yourself to get through them for whatever your personal reason is what the whole purpose of it was to begin with. And it will reveal even more to you once you have gone through it, instead of around it, over it, or underneath it, which just drags you back to the starting point once again. So that's an amazing, amazing story, which definitely speaks to me as an opportunity differently for people to look at, possibly, if it resonates with them, of course, the struggle in their life in the moment, and they might not understand why, but it will make sense to them at a later time. Thank you so much for sharing that. I want to take this opportunity right now to invite listeners to have a visual to accompany them to the verbal of what Carrie's talking about, and that is to go to her site at www.myspace.com/twilightandstarsart, and that's all one word. There's no separation. So Twilight and Stars Art. And I wanted to ask you about how has the expression of, because to me, knowing you, but certainly others might not see you this way, but meeting all your guides and being able to talk to them, etc., you were born with tremendous awareness and are an awakening, I believe, an awakening presence and anchor in this world, regardless of what you're doing. And I was wondering, as a form of expression in languages, if I feel that art is an expression of a language, I feel that writing is an expression in a language, has any other kind of language and or expression come to you?
Good question. Of course, the first language that comes to my mind that both that links many of the forms of expression you just talked about was a language that actually came to me several years ago, and it was a little ways after the time when I mentioned I was starting to do a lot of writing. So it was just another one of those lessons that came through, and it's both a verbal language, and it also can be written in the symbols that actually, if you look at any of the art, you'll often see a script of symbols behind much of the imagery. Some of the pieces have larger symbols in them than others. Sometimes it's just very fine lines behind them, and some of them, they're much larger. But those are the symbol, you know, physical representations of the language that came through. And people who have heard it spoken say that it is a very, very old language and is definitely something that probably, you know, was spoken by either myself or by, you know, guides who are working with me a long, long time ago. And it's definitely something that I continue to work with. And again, as part of that archaeological dig, trying to figure out what it says, figure out if it's a message for me, figure out if it's a message for someone else. And it's interesting, sometimes just sitting in front of these pieces, either visiting them if they're, you know, in someone else's home, if they've been purchased, or those that I've kept for my private collection, and beginning to recognize, okay, that's what that one means, or I think this is what this whole, you know, stanza means, or what have you. But it's kind of, again, like standing back and watching chapters slowly translating themselves or slowly unfolding. And there's been a lot of chapters like that in my life. Some of my different abilities, specifically the psychic ability, came to me like that, like just another one of those chapters. And I'm sure a lot of people listening have had, you know, what you might call the aha moment, you know, one of those things mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, this finally makes sense. There mm-hmm. was several years ago over, it was probably about a two-week period. I had always been a pretty perceptive kid, came from a perceptive family, knew that there was a lot more out there than, you know, just what one's eye could see. But that's when my sight really woke up, and it was amazing to just slowly see, you know, one thing at a time, kind of like how these symbols are translating themselves now. It was slowly saying, okay, you know what, I think there's somebody else here, and you know, I'm not afraid. I'm just going to let this, you know, unfold. I'm going to trust in this. I know I'm in a safe place, and slowly was able, you know, to meet my guides that way, was starting to see, you know, other people's guides or presences in places, or, you know, it's definitely a journey, and it's a journey that definitely does bring about a bit of pouting now and again, because it can be frustrating that, okay, I want to understand it all, but just trusting that, yes, I am going to get the answers to this. I'm not getting any more information than I can handle right now. If I got any more, it's going to be just too much. So go along for the ride, take notes if you can, and try to maintain a good sense of humor and know that, you know, it will all come out in time.
Yes. Oh, such words of wisdom. I couldn't agree more. I think that sometimes there's a place of fear in our humanity that if we don't have all the details immediately upon meeting them, that there's a place of non-security and a place within humanity, regardless of where you're at or what your belief system is, that you really feel almost, well, consciously, maybe unconsciously, the self-preservation come up within, like saying, I need to know all the details so that I can make sure I'm going to be okay. And sometimes just trusting that, wanting to be in the future, really that you will bypass the very strong tools and details of the present moment that will assist you to get into the future. So sometimes what, and I think this is part of what you're revealing, sometimes exactly what we need is all we can handle, and it's in the moment, and we need to trust, absolutely. So, so sacred symbology, sacred geometry, all of that has been swirling around for you, well, I think since your childhood, but certainly upon your abilities to bring it forth in different expressions. What is it? Do you have a personal, let's say, goal for your future as far as, I know things come to you and they do come to you in the most exquisite of ways, but do you have a conscious personal thing that you want to have a goal and you look forward to manifesting that in the future of your life?
Well, I think that I've been given these abilities, these interests, these challenges for a reason, and I hope to think that these can be used in service for healing and in helping of others. Mm-hmm. I am so thankful, and I feel so blessed to have the kind beings that I do have in my life, and have the love of history and archaeology and the exposure to the art materials. It's kind of like getting all the little tools in your toolbox, mm-hmm. and going, okay, you know, I think I'm ready to, you know, get out of the workshop now and do something with it. And mm-hmm. I look forward to my future in either creating works that can mean something to someone, whether it be, okay, I brought this in, this might not mean anything to me, but hey, this is your next step. This mm-hmm. something in this is for you. I'm mm-hmm. handing this off. You take the next leg with the baton. Mm-hmm. Or whether it be in healing, whether it brings a sense of peace, or it helps someone remember something about maybe one of their past lives, or something that helps them remember, hey, you know, these guides are with you. If it can bring peace or trust or growth or healing to anyone during, you know, such a tumultuous time of people looking forward to thinking, you know, what's next for us? What else is there? Mm-hmm. You know, I have roadblocks in my life. How do I break through them? What tools do I have? I really hope that whether it be in writing, which, yes, I know I need to be doing more of, or through art, or whatever avenue I have at my disposal to be able to touch other people's lives, or build on their messages, or jumpstart, you know, their journey. I couldn't imagine a better use of all of this, and hopefully, you know, others will get something out of it.
I believe they will, because I have seen you collaborate, again, whether consciously or unconsciously, collaborate all these different aspects that you are, that, and bring them together to give somebody a message, or to share with them a vision you received, or to even create a piece for them. And I think what's beautiful and unending about you is your ability to not block, stop, or fear any creative expression that comes up within you, meaning that if you all of a sudden felt a desire within you, or you were guided to create in a modality that you've never created in, that you would go for it and almost allow the end result to reveal to you a part of yourself, and like you were saying earlier, possibly a piece of work and a message for somebody else. And so many of us in our humanity might actually fear, and anyone that's listening, if you're in a place working a job that you don't love, or just freed from a job you don't love and you're terrified, you've been born with a gift. We are all born with tools and gifts that go beyond I'm going to say the safety net of what is known. So meaning alternative gifts, or creative, talented gifts, creative in general. And it's a really important time to, if you are sitting there thinking and fearing about money, or fearing about what the next step is, it's a very important time for you to allow the very idea that you might have had as a child, or even as an adult, of, I wonder what would happen if I do this, to allow yourself to go for it, to speak about it, to reach out about it, and to not necessarily know how it's going to end, but know that at least you became the portal, as Carrie was saying, for that expression to come through. And I think that what you represent is that level of freedom, and it's absolutely incredible. I want to take this moment to remind listeners that if you want to call in and talk to this magnificent soul, you can do so toll-free at 1-888-815-9756. Again, toll-free. U.S. and Canada, 888-815-9756. What I think is, what I am in awe about in regards to you and other artists is the ability to bring to life, and I've seen this with you, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, that you have been able to, and I have been gifted to witness this, as I said previously, to put down on paper something that I've read that transports me and awakens even more. You have been able to take that very capacity and recreate a room or an entire, you know, auditorium into the most exquisite location that I've walked in and been, there's not, your attention to detail, I have to say, is unbelievable in regards to when you are in that creative zone, as you said, because when you're in that zone, I've walked into certain spaces, and no matter where you look in that space, that's the message of what that space, maybe the time frame, maybe the celebration, whatever it is, there is not a minute portion of that building, including the windows, the floors, and the ceilings, that aren't a part of the message that you're creating. I mean, your capacity to really, I spoke earlier that you're a universal artist. So anyone out there, I mean, I don't know what you do in regards to working with people, but if you want, I'm talking to the listeners, if you want to work with somebody that can really create quality, authenticity, and take whatever celebration or artistry that you desire to a whole other level, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, what you have on your side is incredible, and what I have seen you do beyond your site, it just takes my breath away, and people need to know that. So I'm very, very grateful that you're on the show tonight.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm blushing again.
Well, good.
I take very seriously creating sacred, safe space, both in my home and little spots, whether it be, you know, where I work or especially if someone is, you know, a good friend or whomever is going through a tough time, trying to create for them a healing space in their home, or best of all, empowering them to do that for themselves. Because, you know, someone can create the most beautiful, you know, set or the most amazing window display or an incredible mural in their home or put on a beautiful, you know, wedding reception. I am lucky enough to have been involved in those projects, but I definitely want people to take stock of what they've got around them, what brings them comfort, what brings them peace, what brings them happiness. And it doesn't mean you have to go out there and buy lots and lots of expensive stuff. Trust me, I have it, and it's a lot to move every time you move. But it's a lot of boxes. But to create that space for yourself, if you're in your home right now listening to this and thinking, okay, yes, I do want to start doing more writing, or I want to start an art project, or, you know, I'm starting to sense more things around me. I want to investigate this. Or if they're in a place of needing to heal, or a loved one has just passed along, or something like that, please do create a safe space for yourself. It doesn't have to be big. But, you know, and it can fit into whatever, you know, religious bent or, you know, belief system you want it to be in. But there is a very important place for that in keeping yourself grounded, in keeping yourself focused on your projects, in being able to regroup and recover and refuel yourself before you have to go back out into the world to the 9-to-5 job or what have you, whatever might be, you know, waiting for you out there. Creating a good space around you, whether it be in how you decorate your home or you know, the music you play in your car is very, very important.
Well, those are very sound words as well. I think that what I'm hearing you say as well is there is tremendous healing that occurs maybe on the deepest of levels or on a not-so-deep level, depending upon where the person is
needing that at the time. But I think individuals listening or energetically or listening physically, if you're struggling with giving yourself time in your life, maybe you are feeling extremely burdened, maybe you are feeling that you don't even have space or time for yourself, and haven't even thought of yourself in your life for some time because you're meeting the needs of so many people. What it sounds like to me that Carrie has been sharing, which is infinite wisdom, is that to even give yourself the most minutest, smallest space, but a project that's about you, that's about your sacredness, that's about your feeling of safety, you are re-including yourself, like Carrie said, refueling back into your life by doing so. It can be the smallest task or a large, you know, vision board, which I recommend vision boards. A vision board is basically a blank slate, cardboard, or any particular format that you resonate with, and cutting out pictures, words, sentences, and statements, and putting them on that board, and then taking that board, things that you desire and that you want to happen and things that you want to claim right now, putting them on that board and putting that board up where you can see it, it becomes a portal and it becomes a reminder that even if you're not able to address yourself in your own life yet, you took the time to create that window of opportunity that represents you, and that window will open unto you, and a lot of what you desire will come in through that window. Have you, your vision boards are like, I was just going to ask you, have you ever done a vision board? And I'm thinking back to the years and years and years that I've known you, and I walked into your sacred spaces and your entire floor to ceiling space, including the bathroom people, hello, attention to detail, is a vision board. I mean, it's like a vision portal. It's unbelievable. It's really, go ahead.
I was going to say eventually that the images do sort of grow outside of the vision board. So the fact that it's showing up in different parts of the home just means that basically I ran out of cardboard. but definitely don't limit it, you know, just to, you know, this little space above your desk or what have you. Artistry can show up anywhere in your home. It can show in so many different, you know, areas too, whether it be cooking or music or, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the beautiful gardens that you have, you know, outside of your home or what have you. So I know a lot of the time we've talked about, canvases or, you know, things that people would expect to see in a gallery. But mm-hmm. that's just a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of what truly is art. I mean, nature is art. Music mm-hmm. is art. Mm-hmm. Animals, children laughing, all these many, many things that don't have a price tag on them are mm-hmm. art. And those really mm-hmm. are the most important things.
Absolutely. The magnificence that we are, simply that we are, is enough. And the fact that we can create beauty or take all of the physicality and the different textures, and I speak to this regarding you and your capacity to bring it all together with spirit, co-creating with you, is such a celebration, I believe, of being first, of just being, and then on top of that, of being here and celebrating this what I call plane of demonstration, this physicality. And I am in constant awe at your capacity to do that, seasonally, yearly, and on and on and on. And for those listening, it's, for just a moment, if you're listening and want to participate, to just put everything aside, all the problems and all the reasons why you wouldn't allow yourself to see yourself that just being is enough, that you deserve to be here, that the fact that you are is a testament and a message to that. And then how can you, everything you do beyond just being, every task, every interaction, etc.,
is an opportunity to express yourself as a physical representative of your beingness. So it is a tremendous opportunity at all times to allow what makes you happy, what you define as beauty. The fact that you have a voice means you have a choice, and that if you don't go within, you go without. So all of these things are things for you to contemplate in your life, but just know that allow yourselves, if it resonates, for just a moment every day to step out of, I'm not doing enough, I don't have enough, it's not enough, into, I am being, I am, and that is enough, and allow the fullness of that to really awaken maybe your creativity, maybe your divine guidance. Because, Carrie, beyond the language that you received, which I've also been able to hear, and it is unbelievably gorgeous, but your different modalities of the expressions of art, to me, are all these languages. I mean, you speak, as far as I'm concerned, you are multi-language. You speak so many different languages, and I think we all do, and we need to just allow ourselves to let that unfold. Let's see. I want to invite people once again, for the last time, to visit Carrie at www.myspace.com/twilightandstarsart. Again, www.myspace.com/twilightandstarsart. I'm talking to somebody who is a universal artist, a psychic, a healer, a visionary, a messenger, a receiver, and a creator, and et cetera, et cetera. And I thank you for being on this earth at this time, for my being able to know you and experience all the beauty that you are, and that all the healing that you really do create, because your pieces go beyond the floors and the walls, and they definitely touch the souls and the hearts of those that need to. Is there anything you wanted to share before we come to a close about anything?
Well, I definitely wanted to thank you, Cynthia, for having me on, and also for being such an amazing teacher. As you said, we've known each other for a lot of years now, and before then, even more years. So stories, you know, they stack up, but you were a tremendous support when things were starting to open up and the veils were starting to lift, and things could have gotten kind of scary there. And you were always reassuring in that it's okay. You're just remembering things, the things that are here, the beings that are here, they are here to support you. These are gifts that have just been waiting to wake up, and this is the right time, this is the divine time for them to do so. You've been an amazing teacher, and you've been an amazing friend, and I truly hope the folks out there who are at crossroads in their lives have someone so kind and so funny and as supportive in their lives, to know that, okay, there's a safety net here, and that, you know, it's okay that I'm experiencing these fears, and there is a beautiful future ahead in just being able to build upon what you've been given, and to know that there is definitely a warm and welcoming path ahead for all those things, and for you, I am truly thankful.
Oh, thank you so much, Carrie. I feel very blessed to have you in my life, and I thank you for being the voice for so many. So I want to bring it to a close and let people know, if they would like to contact me in any way, my website is CynthiaSloan, S-L-O-N, 9.com. Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A, Sloan, S-L-O-N, number 9.com. If you want to send me an email, you can reach me at C-Y-N-S, as in Sam, 999@gmail.com.
And tune in 2 weeks from now for another special guest. And I thank you so much. And as always, this is Cynthia Sloan, and if it resonates, make it your own.